So we are, so to remember in this election, we are electing, we are inaugurating, you know, a guiding story of humans humbly cooperating with nature's guiding genius, you know, to, you know, and it's magnetic, it's an invitation. You know, James Carr says the Renaissance was not against anything, and it was like, here we go, it was again, we're over here, we're going over here, come on, over here, irresistible. You know, and we do critique, we do want investigative critique, we do need to know everything, to put it on our table, to have the pattern emerge of what does this want to be before it became toxic. You know, and that's also a great part of, are we good? A great part of the language. So Jupiter to Pluto also says, you know, everything into the cauldron, all sacred teachings, everything into the cauldron is only a good thing. And we go, oh, this thing, this teaching, this relationship, this whatever, this structure, this conference, this whatever, is it dedicated to equality, equal Mars and Venus? Is the trickster welcome? Can the truth be said? Does it guide each person to their own autonomy? Yes, we ladle it out. No, we throw it back in for another round of bubbling. You know, and Jupiter to Pluto says, what would be the most surprising, desirable, playful, liberating medicine to be ladled out of the kerfuffle cauldron? We wonder. And it's, again, just one of those great dream images that you, that I keep with me, you know, forever. It's like I woke up and I saw a coyote ladling spirals out of the cauldron. I was like, oh, and setting them spinning, right? We go, right, we're ladling spirals out of the cauldron, setting them spinning, you know, for ourselves and for all beings. So maybe we want to go to Yaba.
Yes, tell us about Yaba. Before we do, I would love to just say, don't you want to download the app called Caseyisms?
Yes.
You know, instead of getting the message, bring your boom, woo, you know, like all the cool sounds that you make. I love them. Okay. So much.
What would Trickster do? Right?
What would Trickster do? Exactly. So we need to make a Caseyisms app, I think, don't you think? Yes. Yes.
Before somebody else does.
Before, it's now been recorded.
Yeah.
And also before we sing, we must do this first. Everybody. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday has been liberated from copyright.
Yeah.
So we're not going to get busted now. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, how funny.
Just now.
Didn't
Trickster liberated.
That. Lovely. Yeah. Okay, so then we'll go into the deep.
Yeah. Let's go deep.
Going
we're going down to the deep thing, down to the underworld to investigate. It'll be fun. As long as we have buddies, as long as we have our trickster allies, yeah, it's going to be okay.
Did you see that? I saw that. Did you see that?
Right, exactly. Yeah, so the likes of Ami and the likes of, you know, whatever, we go to keep our plucky hearts. You know, it's like, you know, swimming out deep in the ocean. I feel much better if there's another human there.
Right.
For no rational reason, really, you know. And it's not even one of those things that just takes somebody who can swim faster. It's like, no, not for sacrificing. But yeah, so the jauntiness, and it was, again, David Grimes who told me that you and Rick Steiner said that wolves, even though they are hunted, even though they must hunt, they play every 30 minutes, right? They have a watch?
Every half an hour, they got a watch.
They got a watch, every half an hour, going, oh, time for play, right there. And I think that's also something to put in our medicine bundle, going, no matter what, play. And that's also, you know, how do we, you know, how do we accept the realm, the many, many myriad realms of influence that are being proffered to us? You know, we come to Neptune. So there's Venus and Mars and Jupiter, trine Pluto, the Phoenix's song, really great. Venus and Mars and Jupiter opposite Neptune. Neptune, dreams, vision, imagination. How a culture tells itself its own story through the images and music that move through collective mind. Purpose of ritual magic, Virgo is called the ruler of ritual magic. Purpose of ritual magic, says Dion Fortune, is to spiral, well, but to put into, to spiral into group mind, expanded wisdom and tolerance. So we who are under we are not under reactive pressure, but we did not see somebody killed right in front of us that we love just right now, then it again is our opportunity and responsibility to waft into the memosphere, you know, cool, ingenious responses to waft out into the hot reactive realms with full humility that if we were in a hot reactive circumstance, we might go, duh! You know, so we want to cool that out. You know, and again, would want, when we are in a hot reactive circumstance, to feel the cool mist coming towards us, going, oh, great. So this realm of Neptune, it's the foggy, invisible tendrils that actually guide molecular reality. So for many of us, you know, Neptune's in Pisces, it entered a couple of years ago, it's strong now, it's stationing at the girl with a bugle, calling in a new tide of cultural energy, you know, ollie ollie, income free. Come on, everybody, leave your witness relocation program. Here you go. No matter how hip that program was, you know, it's still like authentic selves. You know, mysterious even to ourselves. And it's also why, you know, like wet fingers in wind. We go, I can feel it. I can't see it, but I can feel there's a shift. You know, and a collective shift, because the task is great. How do we transform humans and our relationship to this planet and our culture from hyper-yang death frenzy, you know, sociopathic loss of kinship, war economy, greed, to one of ingenious, compassionate response and collaborating, again, with nature's genius, we wonder. Well, it's we've got to do that. And again, that irresistible thing, but the, you know, cooperators are standing by, so we can feel it, a shift, you know, even through the horror, you know, we're learning to read different strands going, oh, horrible, horrible, and then there's this. Can feel this. You know, the rise of altruism, people who give awards for altruism going, it's rising. And then there's the shadow, of course, too. I love late great ally Vine Deloria, a great Native American leader who was just very Aries and satirical. And he goes, Boulder, I mean, so many people, both Native Americans and not, who suddenly discover that they were raised by grandmother moose and they just deriving status and a, okay, anyway, so he was fun that way. Yeah, I mean, again, he was a reading of the inauthentic. And, you know, and the last time I saw him at the Library of Congress, where all the great Native American leaders were there, and Bob Goff, great ally radio and many things today. But he said, look at this room. You know, all these people would be breaking out in fist fights except for Vine. He's the only person who could get all these warring factions here. You know, and Vine, you know, really kind of one of his last, you know, quips, really, he said very important about how we are effective, you know, activists, or even some better word than that, how we are effective, influential in the world. And he said, He said, today I meet many, many young activists who are very, very serious about themselves. And he said, we were serious about the issues, but we were always playful, like wolves, like detectives, you know, among ourselves. And he said, this self-mythologizing. Now we are, you know, what's the con and what's the trick? We do like mythologizing. I like wearing dragon eyes. I feel I've earned status from living with Stella Coyote because I don't have any sheet that's not shredded, any handle that's still there. Well, I've earned this. Still she's age 18 and still kick butt, and I'm like, oh my god, I left the cereal on the stove. She got it. She carried the whole pot out into the. When will I learn? But it's relentless, you know. I've earned that. But again, we put our discernments in when are people self-mythologizing in order to derive status, in order to become special, in order to have people outsource their autonomy to them, and we go, no, flag on that play, toxic mimic, you know, self-mythologizing. No, right? You know, it's just a quality of discernment. You know, when there's fantastic stories or whatever, we go, is somebody deriving status? You know, and we wonder. But Neptune would like to expand a whole realm, you know, and repertoire of participatory influence. You know, again, let us be public dreamers. Let us be artists of atmosphere. Going to invite in, Neptune's called the higher octave of Venus, to invite in the atmosphere where the desirable can take place. You know, and that means also to be critique, and that's why I love putting a hyphen in diagnosis, dia hyphen gnosis. Dia means everywhere, gnosis means wisdom. So all diagnoses are good because they call in the wisdom to remedy. So we do want to be fiercely insightful and put actual knowledge of up to no goodness and things on the table, but we don't want to stay there. You know, we want to have that as compost, and that's also why, yes, Rob was reminding us of dogs. You know, and I love Cesar Millan, really. I give everybody's a foible, but I love the dog whisperer. I think he's one of the best spiritual teachers going. I think he is a dog. I think he's a terrier. But he says, you know, very few creatures, and dogs certainly, like the word no. Nobody really, no. So he goes, you know, what you want to do with a dog, you know, you want to go, hey, you know, a little surprising Uranus thing, like, oh, you break the, and you go, hey, over here, yes, Rosewood, over there. You know, hey, no, not the war thing, no, not Grover Norquist, no, over here, destroy the military industrial complex. There, over there, there we go. No, not economic collapse there. Hey, over here, there we go. So that's really useful, and it's also, Jupiter wants us to be able to praise, informed praise, but when somebody does something good, you know, we want to go, good, more of that. We discourage this, we encourage that. And so much of public discourse is like, yeah, you know, but yes, Obama did that good thing, but he's a warmonger because of what it meant. I was like, let not your harumphatudinous condescension and intrinsic colonial attitude towards your peers prevent you from praising and being effective in the world. Because a lot of our team can go, oh, but if you knew what I knew, you know, you wouldn't be hoodwinked by this. And it's like, we do know what you know. You know, we're just more fun. You know, and condescension is intrinsically colonial. You know, and it's like, we know that. We know the thing and the badness and the whatever and the thing. You know, but to be able to encourage, you know, people go, oh, the Pope, you know, criminal sexual industry, blah, and we go, yes, but this thing was good over here. You know, and it's crucial if we want to be non-colonial, if we want to be magnetizers and agents across borders of the desirable story. So this whole realm of participatory influence, which is, you know, again, to critique or discourage, you know, going, no, hey, and encourage, which I so prefer to the word empower, which is a government term, which means you empower a committee, you give it power from outside, and people, and I always throw empower into the compost bin. You can do what you want. But I ladle out, you know, so many, you know, again, so many words that are so many words that are available. So I love, instead of empower, for instance, encourage. That was very encouraging, feeding the heart. You know, again, is it guiding people to their own autonomy, or is it intrinsically sneaky and colonial and hoodwinking and a con? You know, So there's that. All right. And also, it's a kind of mythological willingness to go. Everybody's got a role in the mystery play. We might wonder what it is. Is Donald Trump sent to destroy the Republican Party? We wonder. It could be. And we encourage that. We go, in case you've been sent to destroy the Republican Party. Good boy. Good boy. Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy? This is why. And I do love that Ally posted on my Facebook page a dog, a Zen dog, looking into the distance going, I wonder if I'll ever find out who's a good boy. It's very sweet. It's like, who's a good boy? So everyone has a role in the mystery play. Extending our realm of influence into the memosphere. Yes, I already said that. Fairy tales there, never mind. Oh, that's okay. Other things. This will all find its way into tomorrow's talk at Bioneers. There we go. But I love also... John Burdett, who does kind of Buddhist noir detective novels, and his latest one, which is spooky, but it's in which there's a COINTELPRO program to create kind of enhanced robotic humans, and maybe not, I don't know. Anyway, but he does say, one of his characters says, I'm being seduced by a killer clown, a sociopathic god on the Roman model, who must win, not because he's good, but because of a right order of something scribbled there. Anyway, fill in the blank. I do not constrain your imagination. You fill in the blank. Whatever. I wonder what that. I encourage you to fill in the blank of any missing endings of sentences. There we go. So just again, just for the fun of it, our discernment. Con man trickster. Again, see, sarcasm means to bite and destroy and hurt. Con. Irony, satire, liberating. The Charlie Hebdo people deserve to breathe and live, but that was not satire. That was a con. It was just mean, And I love, again, my Jungian analyst friend who says, when people flatter you, they're paying you for what they're about to take. Mm. It's like, oh, it's really fun. Keep that one. Because, see, flattery, con, praise, trickster. Pray, we can, in our wise intuition, can feel the difference, right? There's many ways to get mugged, conversationally, culturally, as well as on the street. And you go, what just happened there? And that's part of self-possession. It's the videotapes being shown to muggers in prison going, who would you mug? And they go, anybody off rhythm. The rhythm, again, it's like the magic word that we learned in London, living in bad neighborhoods in a crazy mystery school, to imbue a word as our protective kind of linguistic amulet that would disrupt and change the story. So I had my special word, somebody come up and go, I'm going to kill you unless you give me your wallet. And you go, rutabaga. And they're like, whoa, ooh, too weird for me. I'm going to go find somebody arrhythmic. And that's why, again, earnest sees the con. I want you all to feel my pain, the pain I feel for the earth dying. And we go, earnest, versus sincere, which has a whole different quality. Again, liberating, not impositional. Encouraging, liberating, going that way. So I think these are fun things to take home and play with. I so love late great Terry Pratchett. Again, I think the jauntiness of entering the underworld is also with a wild whimsy, and he had such a great animistic mind. And his one of his great characters is Death, who speaks only in capitals. Hello. But kind of likable. So he has the four horsemen of the apocalypse: death, war, pestilence, and famine. But some trickster in the novel steals their horses, so they're now the four pedestrians. And the four pedestrians stop off at a pub and get a drink. And then go, aren't we supposed to be doing something? Hey, war, hey, pestilence, let's have another drink, okay. So that's a good one to animate. The four horsemen become the four pedestrians and they stop off at a pub. Wonderful. Yes, and again, you know, it's also my friend Pat guides us in the political realm. You know, when people reveal horrific things, you know, she goes, thank you for revealing yourself. That sure is ugly. Thank you. And all leaders are designed to be disappointing. So it's like, oh, I'm so disappointed. A word that I would encourage us to throw into the cauldron for a little respite, because this is underworld. And, you know, remember when everybody was saying, I'm so disappointed in Obama? It's like, is there no other word, you know, that's such a memo? Because disappointed is part of us being snookered into ineffectiveness. It means I am in the underworld powerless. I mean, that's what it actually means. You know, I'm disappointed. And we go, how about bamboozled or hoodwinked or, you know, some other thing, you know? Again, you know, what we want now in all of this wonderful mythological traffic through Virgo and Pisces, you know, metaphoric and linguistic biogenesis, meaning, you know, great Rick Gallo, one of the great deep sea scientists in the world, when there was a really good TEDx conference on the ongoing ecocide in the Gulf, when it just began to happen, but it will take many millennia to resolve. But all the scientists were weeping, right, which is an important tarot card. They could no longer deny their love for what was dying. But Rick Gallo was great on the radio, and he could guide us into the deep, deep ocean and said it's the most fertile place on the earth, even more than the Amazon, teeming with life and waterfalls and rivers at the bottom. And yes, humans have messed with it, but keep in mind, at the deep, deep sea, there are these vents of biogenesis blowing new life into the world all the time. And so by analogy, we go, well, we want linguistic biogenesis, new words, you know, and metaphoric biogenesis, you know, so that again, the more words, the more metaphors, the more freedom, you know, again, the liberating, the disruption of the circle of habit, habitual words. So it's not like, oh, I said a bad word or bad. It's the circle, it's the ingrained pathway, the constrained neurological pathway that wants to get liberated. You know, and again, part of what's liberating is into Jupiter, into the abundance of, you know, each word. There's so many flora and fauna on this planet. I mean, we're reducing it, but in the same way, you know, the linguistic diversity is crucial for us serving diversity. You know, to again expanding our vocabulary and looking words up in a dictionary because they're so rich. Language grants us access to the realm it describes. If we have a beautiful language like astrology in its true state, which is describing each one of our interior psyche and its relationship to the whole larger big pulse, you know, if we have that language, we can go there, you know, and feel our kind dynamic.
Plus, it's orgasmic for our brains.
It's orgasmic for our brains. Speak better.
Plus, it's orgasmic for our brains.
Like, ooh, a new word. Yeah, I mean, again, all these words. So, Terry Pratchett is full of new words, you know, and, oh, that susurration. And just the murmuring. Susurration is murmuring. It's good, too. You know, and then also, what do swallows do? Wait, it's the
murmuration.
Is it murmuration? I love that. Murmuration. That's right. So, yes. And we go, yeah, chaos, incubator for creative ingenuity. The antidote to hokum is skookum. Again, David Grimes gave me that word. I like attribution. Because not many people know your unique custodian of the definition of skookum, but I like it and I'm voting for it. You know, I need it to be true. Because David said it's from the syncretism. This is also part of the dynamic. Neptune squares Saturn and Sagittarius squares. Again, syncretism and crossing borders. So it's a word that came from the you know, sort of white traders and native people in British Columbia. And it means, according to David, and I'm working it means connected to the spirits and completely competent for the work at hand. What a good word. You go, skookum. Maybe I'll be skookum. That's right. And a lot of people think it means, you know, pretty good. But we know better. That's how it smuggles its way into the world. So we go, it's not oil that Americans really need from the Middle East, but deep cultural wisdom underneath that. In the Grail legend, the land is dying and can only be redeemed by the pure-hearted Parsifal when he reunites with his secret Islamic twin brother, Ferfaz. It's embedded in the mythology. You know, it's only through diversity. It's that part of the Quran where Muhammad goes to Gabriel and says, hey, we could have had no war at all and only peace if you'd made us all alike. And Gabriel says, oh, no, but God would have none of that. The greater experiment is to come into accord from maximum difference. Right. So there are these little nuggets again, and that's in the Quran. We go right crossing borders, you know, from diversity. So wherever there's strife in the world, Mars with no Venusian supervision or guidance, because see, Mars without Venus, you know, it's eating over the sink, and then it's planetary extinction right after that. You know, it's no manners. You know, so the solution is Venus, art, culture, poetry. You know, indigenous to that land. Wherever there's trouble, it's like go deeper into the linguistics, go deeper into the land, go deeper into the mythology. You know, for the antidote to be brought forth. Whatever we do, we get more of. You know, it's again more bombing, more bombing, more war. More, you know, it's very simple. You know, but that's why it's also pretty extraordinary. I want to do a little homage to the Pope. And yes, the Pope did make a saint out of Junipero Serra. And think of how kind of linguistically, geographically empty California would be if we dissolved all San, S-A-N, San Rafael, San Jose, whatever, Junipero Serra. So that was, you know, because we're friends of his soul, we think that might have been, you know, a mistake. But the Pope came and pointed out two Americans, Dorothy Day and Thomas Merton,
yeah,
which was astounding, really. Again, trickster moves through everything, you know. And again, that's the dynamic, which is yes, we discourage the bad, but that is not an impediment to us praising the good, you know. Here we got there. That's good. More of that. Yes, what a good thing, you know. And so Thomas Merton, people were Googling Dorothy Day and Thomas Merton, which is great. And Thomas Merton said, art enables us to find ourselves and lose ourselves at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Love is our true destiny. We do not find the meaning of life by ourselves alone. We find it with another. Mm-hmm. You do not need to know precisely what is happening or exactly where it's all going. What you need is to recognize the possibilities and challenges offered by the present moment and to embrace them with courage, faith, and hope.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Merton. And then Cesar Millan says, the dog you have is the dog you need. And so that worked too. So again, the bomb of the con, we want to be the BALM of the trickster. Now, also, again, with Obama, you know, we do want to bless the good, and that happens to be what his name means. Barack, bless Obama the good. You know, and again, we go, oh no, the troops, oh no, the bad drone, okay, but encourage the good. Really, we may not have an opportunity again to work with such a smart president.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he does operate on many, what?
I said until now.
Until now, that's right, until now, that's right, thank you. Until now, ha. It's good. But he said some amazingly grown-up things to humans as though speaking to a grown-up part of the collective. You know, after the recent murders in Oregon, he said, we hold a collective responsibility to those who are grieving.
Mm.
Very Neptune. You know, again, we hold it, we are complicit. You know, complicity is a really important creative word. Not shame, not blame, but whatever is going on, we are complicit. We are giving it chi, you know. And once we recognize our complicity, we can take back our chi, our complicity, and exhale it into a desirable thing. But whatever is going on, we are complicit. We are a part of directing that movie. Until now, you know, again, but to have a public figure say a metaphysical important truth, we hold a collective responsibility to those who are grieving. That's big. Remember also he was always quoting Hai John the Conqueror, the great trickster redeemer of the South. We got to find a way out of no way, which is the trickster saying. And it goes with, and hit a straight lick with a crooked stick. So may we all be given, you know, a crooked stick with which to hit a straight lick and find a way out of no way. And also to speak to the mythological in all beings. You know, what we were sort of animating the last time we gathered also was, you know, the heartfulness of the whales of San Ignacio Lagoon, who conquered tyranny by just opening the hearts of the humans they came in contact with when their birthing lagoon was endangered. And Pancho Mayoral said when the president of Mexico had agreed to sign over the birthing lagoon to Mitsubishi for a destructive salt factory, the fishermen got together and said, well, just come take your family out on a boat with us. You know, and Pancho said the whales knew what they had to do. He said they'd never been so beguiling, like, bringing their babies up. And, you know, and the family of the Mexican president were just weeping, as you do, with the kinship and the beauty and the humor and they're forgiven. We've been forgiven by these beings. You know, and so he goes, and he cancels the project and saves the whales. And the whales who go to the Arctic, you know, what we were imagining is, may the spirit of the Arctic and the whales teach us, you know, to open Obama's heart, to open the hearts of those there, you know, to the greater wisdom. And our beloved Michael Stocker, who's so great in the marine acoustician realm, to go, it's all alive in music and singing and the bearded seals, I can't quite do it. Can you do it?
It's a little complicated.
It's a little complicated. you can talk with Michael for a private serenade, but the Arctic or a public one. But yes, no, that it's not empty, nothing, it's all teeming with life, and hello, call and response. You know, that we learn their language rather than force creatures to learn ours. You know, you know, again, I take it, you know, when people are harumphy or we need violence or whatever, they go, that's not what the whales did. The whales were like, we're just going to open your hearts. Mm. The whales did not go, you runny dog lackey, you know, imperialist puppet for whatever, and if you knew what I knew, you'd be dead. You know, they were like, no, we're just going to open you up to remember kinship. And I think that's part of our aspiration. You know, now, part of also to be unsnookerable, that we want to be, I love in Terry Pratchett's, again, latest novel, really, really great, really great, Made Me a Better Witch. It's really good, in which everybody's got a role in a mystery play, even the status-hungry, ghost-seeking, frippery people. Everybody comes through in the end to protect what they love, you know, and that's what we want to see. No matter how befoibled, you know, we all are, or people, we see them, you know, at the last minute, coming through with the other half of the seal to save the world over the, you know, in befoibledness. But there's a point where the bad forces are invading the world, you know, and it's the job of the witches and the gentle calm weaving men to guide them back, you know, across, you know, going no, not here, over there. Everybody's got a place. Even monsters have a place. But the bad beings who are murderous and, and cruel, they have the power of glamour. You know, and the witches were getting together and, you know, going, that's no problem for us, we're witches. And Tiffany Aiken, the young girl witch, says, oh, show them, Elf Queen, a little bit of what glamour works. And the Elf Queen unfolds the glamour, and each one of them goes, oh, and I am the great agent of the goddess, and I am the most beloved of Saint Germain, and I am the who's a, oh, no, I'm a nothing, I'm a, and then the witches go, wow, that was strong. You know, that it's the inflation and deflation, the hungry ghost deriving status to be special rather than unique. And they're like, whoa, we were humbled by that one. So may we all be immune to the glamour of inflation, like, whoa, because it's got a crash of deflation coming right after it. You know, again, yes, so we did Dorothy Day. Oh, one last thing also just to, yes, that's right, we went, the Pope was kind of coming down, you know, with the moral authority about protecting the earth. So we go, you know, all crime shows and everything, we go, we want, cosmic law and order. There we go. Now, and also remember, again, to praise the good, you know, Sister Helen Prejean, you know, wept with gratitude about the Pope suggesting the abolition of the death penalty, you know, globally. She said, I've seen a lot of death in Argentina, and I've been dedicated for 30 years to abolishing the death penalty, and I couldn't be happier. The Pope lifted us all up, calling us to inclusivity and a change of heart. Mm. We go, we encourage that. We encourage that. We go, yeah, okay, there's some problems, but we praise. It does. Our critique is not in the way of our praise. It feeds our praise and encouragement. You know, and I think this is so crucial as we, you know, head out from our gathering into the world again, that critique and knowledge feeds our intricate capacity to praise and direct the traffic of what it really wants to be. And the Pope, mythic being, you know, his Saturn is 16 plus Pisces, which is, you know, an Easter sunrise service. You know, rich and poor alike celebrate an Easter sunrise service of cultural rebirth. And go Pope, you know, you're doing your thing. We encourage that, yeah, we discourage that. But we encourage that thing. You know, we are, you know, encouragers, agents of encouragers, encouragement. You know, and so each story, you know, what are we going to ride? We're in this veil between the worlds, you know, we're heading to Halloween, one of the four gates of power. You know, we invite power into the world and offer it the incarnational template. You know, yes, we've done that. Anything anybody like to know? Magic eight ball, reply hazy. So part of it also, Saturn in Sagittarius, Jupiter's sign, you know, it's a square Neptune. So it's the caravan, and Neptune's the dreams. It is Idris Shah's title, the caravan of dreams. We're all in a caravan of dreams. It is the Scheherazade tales. So the last little bits, this will all be tomorrow, the last little bits, you know, that we be agents of cool response in an increasingly hot, reactive world. You know, that is, you know, our aspiration. Venus, again, it's the Venusian trickster redeemer. Magic is a willingness to cooperate with everything. So, see, the gods don't really care about approval, disapproval ratings. You know, into the cauldron, approval, disapproval. What an imprisoning con. You know, here's this thing, do you approve or disapprove? You know, you're an American, your job is to have an opinion about everything, no matter how informed within 3 seconds of hearing about something. Going, oh, I hate it, I love it. We go, nuance, subtlety, going, you know, research, intuition, those things. And how do we cooperate with this? What wants to happen here, rather than dis, underworld approval? So, all of those things. So Venus says, you know, lichen, for instance, is not a species, but a relationship between fungus and algae. And the relationship of fungus and algae can crack rock, right? So it's the symbiosis. So Venus is, again, relationship, partnership with whatever we love. You know, that is incredible strength. Beauty and collaboration is strength. The last, you know, when we were last gathered here, equinox time, you know, it was, we were talking about, you know, beauty and destruction neck and neck. We're betting on beauty. Beauty poker. I see your act of beauty and raise you one. Here's more beautiful. Yeah, that's really good. So with language as our guide. And I do just want to do a little thing about the Neptunian status and the value of attribution. So astrology does work. I was having a number of breaches of boundaries of, you know, identity got hacked and other language got kidnapped over here and whatever. But Uranus, trickster, was exactly opposite my Saturn. And part of the opposition is we stage an inward dynamic in an outward way that looks oppositional. But it's like, but how do we cooperate with that? Going, oh, it's to clarify, it's a wake-up call. So for me, a wake-up call going, well, be more Saturn. But it was one of the issues about attribution that we also spoke of last gathering, you know, that I dedicate. I like quoting people, I like sources, because it keeps the story intact, you know, and when people steal, or they hoodwink, you know, things that are not theirs and pass them off as their own, it's the linguistic equivalent of GMO food, because you're cutting the story lineage, you know, of where it came from. You know, it's going to, you know, and it's when we craft language, you know, it's very often invisibly kind of formed, you know, and if somebody hoovers that over, there's no power to it. But when we attribute, we're keeping the guiding DNA knowledge of where that came from. So just as part of our ally etiquette, how we treat each other, and we want humans, the restoration of human manners to the world, not imposed societal arbitrary where you put the fork manners, intrinsic manners that is found everywhere in nature, even among predator and prey, there's manners of a sort. There's a dynamic. So I love the world is an agreement in which we are constantly creatively complicitous. You know, words, metaphors, invocative, constraining or liberating. And I love Michael Gruber's, you know, dynamic. in which he has one of his indigenous characters come to realize, who at first was very oppositional, and then saying, ah, to love disharmony back into harmony creates a greater harmony than existed before. Which is why Woof Woof Wanna Play is so great, if we can be spicy and critical, you know, and somebody takes it and plays, or it comes to us critical and we play, it's like, ooh, it's really like the best. You know, the truth is always like much more exciting and fun. You know, so we love that. And it might be that the trickster redeemer part of us, inwardly cultivated, born on Christmas Day, pretty cool, which is, you know, part of the winter solstice. The sun actually does not perceivably move for 3 days. So December 21st, winter solstice, and it's still solstice. And then, so Christmas actually does mean something. You know, and it might be, I like the metaphor also of when a planet appears to be moving backwards, it's as though we have a bow and arrow, and in one hand is our bow, and in the other hand is the bowstring and the arrow. And I do love this metaphor because the bowstring and the arrow part of ourselves says, oh man, I'm not making any progress. I seem to be going backwards, right? But the bow says, no, you're really gonna like this. To the degree to which we pull in and back, you know, is the degree of forward velocity born on Christmas. So we get to say, you know, well, if we entertain the possibility that we're moving into a field of synchronous serendipitous resonance and connectivity, you know, what's our target? What do we want to? What's the quality of that? You know, and because it's the trickster redeemer within all of us, may our arrows be tipped with compassion, with tyranny as their target. heart blooming. Tiffany Aiken in the book, she has a great chant to dispel the seduction of glamour. Yon ton tethera, yon ton tethera. Just, you might try that. Yon ton tethera. Okay, so we're all immune from glamour, because glamour is actually it's a Scottish word meaning a bad thing. You know, we made a whole industry out of it. And then, of course, there is, of course, the always. I think I got this one right. Who remembers Klaatu Barato Nictu? Yeah. Yay! All right, from the day the earth stood still. We want everything. Who brought what? You know, these mantras that are good. So I think maybe we want our Chango medley of invoking all the Orishas, and you know, the wonderful word Ashe means may the words, you know, incarnate into sensuality. So we are no longer outsourcing our autonomy. You know, and Ami's going to present, you know, by morphic resonance that our souls understand, you know, a plethora of forms of positive Mars and positive intelligence and positive leadership. All right, darling. That's our positive Mars and everything. And Dr. Grimes, would you be so good? Oh, you brought Brer Rabbit. That's good. So I thought we'd also just have a sweet blessing to ride out on. And Dr. Grimes will guide us in a sweet blessing. And then we have one more word to say before we disperse into the multiverses with our casts and our...
Dr. Grimes, would you like a microphone?
I'll just do it.
Oh, no,
right here. Out here.
Oh,
you
know, here
you go. Mike, okay. Yeah. The three of us are pretty loud.
Okay. Okay, wow.
Beautiful. Well, hey, what a great blessing to all of us to be here in this very skookum space, in this very Skookum beautiful people and the Skookum beautiful campsite earth. We are so blessed. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dreams, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, as dreamers do, fate is kind. She brings to those who love the sweet fulfillment of their secret longing. Like a bolt out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true.
Beautiful, 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 and our wonderful ally, Anna-Kayla Gaston. Our wonderful ally, Captain David Bryan. Our wonderful ally, me. And you, thank you all for doing this beautiful work. And one last word of blessing. I love the Eritrean word, Aizan. It means, it's one word, it means the reciprocal blessing of gathering jauntiness for a difficult journey ahead that one can be sure of achieving. And I had an Eritrean cab driver, and I said, do you know this word, Aizun? He goes, how do you know that? And I go, I love words. And he goes, oh, it is a powerful word. You may use it. So let's just say it, you know, on the Aizan, on the count of three Aizan, to wish each other well on our arduous, successful journey, both apart and together and cahooting into the underworld and back with the medicine the world needs now. We go, Aizan, Aizan. Aizan. Thank you all.
Give it up for Caroline Casey.
Thank you. Well, fortune be with you.
Yay.